This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a big kid and a little kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two young kids, and a baby.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, my kid got in trouble at school. Plus, Biz has a miraculous announcement. Teresa can tell you how it's going with three. And we talk to comedian Joe Sib.
Woo!
I'm a little low on the wooing today.
Yeah, but you did a nice dance move. That was something in ballet. I don't know what the word is for it in ballet, but it was a ballet move.
Is it like bending willow or something?
I feel like I want to call it a pirouette, but I know that it wasn't a pirouette.
Is it? Guys, it's going to be a show. Everybody enjoy it.
Something's going to happen today.
Something's going to happen today. Probably crying. because Teresa and I are both a little tired. We're on the edges of frayed. But before we get into
We're deeply emotionally tired on top of being physically tired, just so you guys know. Both of us.
It's going to be a crier.
This is not either or.
No,
like,
it's
usually
both
today. I feel like when one of us is having a week, the other one kind of like moms up and like says like, it's going to be, you're going to. But today.
Oh, we're both like.
Anybody's guess because
now our only responses to each other can be it's all fucked up. You're right. So we're gonna quickly say thank you everybody who has been supporting the launch of You're Doing a Great Job, 100 Ways You're Winning at Parenting.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
Yeah, it's been really exciting to see the book out in the world and see it physically for real, and your support has really meant a great deal to us. For those of you who've reviewed it on places like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other places, thank you, and keep reviewing it. Like, that's really helpful, and as Stefan said, makes it look like a real thing.
Almost as if it is a real thing.
I know, that's right. Also, if you haven't yet and you're near San Francisco, we're going to be there this week. This week.
This weekend.
Saturday, April 29th. We will be doing a live show with guest Glenn Washington of Snap Judgment. We're going to be selling and signing books after the show. Teresa's got a 2-year-old baby with her. So
2-year-old?
I'm sorry. Teresa's got a 2-month-old baby. Not weeks, right? It's month. Teresa's got a 2-month-old baby. She is bringing. That is the dedication to this.
Yeah.
So we're going to have her as long as we can. So come on down so we can do that. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. Teresa, how are you?
I'm tired. I'm a little spent. I was reflecting over the weekend on, I don't know if you remember this, Biz. Maybe some of you guys remember. I had a moment when Oscar was a baby and Grace was, I guess, she was 2 years and 3 months when Oscar was born. So sometime around when Grace was 2.5-ish and Oscar was a baby, I remember having this moment that I talked about on the show where somebody asked me at the preschool, like, said, like, I'm going to have two soon, like a similar age difference. How is it? And I said, it's great.
What?
And then I came on the show and I said, I don't know why I said that.
I remember this.
It is not great. And then we kind of like took that apart and talked about it. And I've been having this experience recently where I've been running into, you know, parent friends at the elementary school and at the preschool, and everybody knew that baby Curtis was coming, and everybody knew I already had two kids. And, you know, where we live, it's pretty common for people to have two kids. I feel like most people I know have two kids or are planning to have two. There are definitely plenty of people with one. And then you don't see the three as much in LA. I think it's more common throughout the United States, but I think in LA, whatever, cost of living, just culturally, people just don't have, you don't see it as much.
Right.
And so people definitely look at me with the big eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to know
how
it's going.
Are you visiting,
honey? Yeah.
Are you visiting?
Yeah. And they want to know how it's going. And, or they're just being polite and making conversation.
Right.
And I've been really struggling with this because I don't, Like, on the one hand, like, I am so happy, like, genuinely. Like, sure. I love that I have three kids now. Like, yes. I really wanted Curtis. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really, really happy. And then at the same time, like, it's so insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's not insane. Like, I don't feel like I'm in crisis mode. It's just funny how much parenting I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually, like, it's exactly what you would expect it to be with three little kids.
Yeah, it's like cooking three totally different meals at once. Like, your hands in all these different pots.
Just doing stuff all the time.
And each thing has different needs and, you know, and different timings and different, and you've got to, like...
And, like, potty stuff. And, like, diapers. And, like, dogs. And just, you know, there's just all this stuff. And, like, mostly I'm pretty, like, chill right now. Like, I feel pretty... I don't feel like I'm losing my mind or anything. But, like... It's not like most people's idea of a good time.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so when somebody asks me, like, how's it going? I have no good
response
to that. Like, I want to kind of just be like, well, how do you think?
Right. Like, yeah, there's no response. Like, it doesn't sound like you're basically saying fuck off. Right.
Right.
Like, there's no response because you can't say, because we all know that great is not
kind
the
of
real
bullshit.
Truth.
Yeah.
Right. Any other answer is like... is going to be interpreted possibly as total smartass, right?
Yeah.
Like, or
just
you can't,
complaining.
Or just complaining,
like, I don't want to talk about how it's hard because it's like, you guys know. Like, these are other parents I'm talking about.
So,
like, you guys know how it is probably, pretty much, if you have a kid. It's just three of them.
Three of them.
And so I'm doing that. That's what I'm up to.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, people are like, how's it going? You know, I'm like, I don't know what it is. Like, that's basically all I have sometimes. I'm like, it's all right. I'm kind of tired, but I'm here functioning.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's really not a lot of great responses.
Yeah, so that's all. I don't have anything
special. That's
how are you, Biz?
I am also very tired.
Yeah.
I was gone briefly. There had been a brief family style sort of we all needed to be all hands on deck back in Alabama. So and everything's fine. But it was like a lot of travel from California to Alabama and back. And my hours were off. And, you know, I just didn't get a lot of sleep. And it's always just like very emotional and all that stuff. So everything's great. Everything's fine. But I'm back. And... It's like my first day back at home, and I'm trying to get back into the zone of parenting and this family that's here. And I'm in the bathroom getting ready to leave the house or something, and I hear Katie Bell say, there's a baby fish in the tank. Now, let's all go back to the fishes that I have in my... We have a tank. Many of you know it's not my favorite thing in the house. We've had a lot of fish come and go. They're all that has existed in this tank... in the last month or so, maybe a little longer than a month, is one guppy named Multi, two snails, and now we're down to one shrimp. And that's it. But there is, in fact, a baby guppy in our fish tank now.
Wow.
Now, I don't... feel like I'm...
But one?
Just one baby guppy.
Don't they usually have like a lot of babies?
That's what I thought. The things I know from the time that we thought one of our earlier fish was pregnant because it had gotten so big, that turned out to be like a disease.
Right.
The bloat. But like when I had read thinking, oh my God, is there... And we only buy male guppies, guys.
Well.
We pick from the male tank.
Right.
No one's down there checking under their skirts or anything.
Life like, finds a way.
I know. It's all fucking Jurassic Park up in our fish tank. And we're like, it's the second coming of fish. Like, there's like this. And like, Multi hasn't looked pregnant. There's no like weird behavior. There hasn't been anything. Mm-hmm. But there is a baby fish in our tank. I don't. Mm-hmm. There's no other fish. I've explained to both children, I don't know how this fucking happened, because I don't know when somebody had sex with Multi.
Right.
I don't know when, because Katie Bell's like, when did Multi have sex? And I'm like, so glad you understand.
Is that how it works with fish?
Like, I don't know how fish are fertilized.
I don't either.
I don't either, but I don't think it's like one of those random frogs that can self-pregnate itself. Clearly, there's something has to happen for fish.
Yeah.
And there's a baby fish in our tank. And I had to like say to the kids, everybody get prepared for Multi to possibly eat this fish.
Maybe they were eat their eggs own... in there when you... No, that
I don't
sense.
Know.
I don't know. But you know what? I just have this feeling now that this... Because you know this prolongs the amount of time that you're going to
have this tank for. Forever.
And then this could just happen
this
again.
This could happen
right?
again. Guys... Anyway, so wow. miracle of life
okay.
in the house.
That's great.
Somebody's having a baby in my house, and it's an asexual fish. Speaking of things that can catch us by surprise, today we're going to talk about what it feels like when your kid gets in trouble at school.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa, before we get into our feelings about our children when they get in trouble at school... Do you remember getting in trouble at school? Were you a troublemaker?
I did not get in trouble at school, except maybe once I was around like 6th, 7th grade,
yeah.
my friends and I would have like giggle attacks yeah. where like we could not.
Right.
You just can't pay
stop.
Attention.
Yeah.
You just cannot stop laughing because
sure.
your friend is too funny. And then you get in trouble, like a little bit in trouble for that.
Yeah. Or, I feel like troublemaker is like a.
It's like not.
Pretty
yeah.
big word. Like when I think troublemaker, I think smoking in the boys' room and like shit
yeah.
like that. Like
older
I feel like pulling a knife and
about.
Shit. Yeah.
yeah.
But like, you know, and then there's like a whole, we get to have a whole conversation about like the label of troublemaker mm-hmm. and the like how that starts so early
it.
And if that's any good
yeah.
and it's probably not.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I was the same. It was, I was probably, I mean, okay, it was the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I was a talker,
mm-hmm.
so I got in trouble a lot for talking.
Uh-huh.
I could not control myself from talking. And back in those days, the teacher just, I mean, from first grade, and my earliest memories of
yeah.
first grade would just go to the hall.
Right.
Because I couldn't shut up.
Right.
So they would just put me in the hall.
Yeah.
And one time I remember my teacher yelling at me for talking, and I had to lean in and say, that wasn't me. I'm out in the hall. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
my God, I love that
Because
so
I was also
much.
A fucking smartass.
Right. Right.
But
oh, you must have loved that.
I did. I was like, it's not me.
Yeah.
But my sister and I, our elementary school, it was back in the day where, like, the vice principal used to, like, roam the halls looking for kids who had been sent to the hall.
Because uh-huh.
you would just be sent to the hall would be, like, your first level of, like, the first warning, right?
Uh-huh.
And you'd be sitting in the hall, and he'd be, like, walking down the hall. And I can remember that man, that was back when paddling at school was still a thing. And he used to have a paddle just shoved down the back of his pants. And he would just walk.
Did you ever get paddled?
No, but here's the reality of it was my mother, like I knew, like my speech was if I ever got in so much trouble
that you were going
to
be
I was
paddled?
Sent to the mm-hmm. office to be paddled, I was to say you are not allowed to paddle me until you have spoke, until you have called my mother and
yeah.
she comes down here. But like think of all the kids who don't say that,
yeah.
right? Like they just got paddled.
Yeah.
And I got into some, like, fights and stuff
yeah.
because my mother was also raising me. If somebody pushes you, knock them out and then uh-huh. go to the principal's. That's uh-huh. like fights
in.
All the time.
Yeah.
When you're 7.
Self-defense.
Yeah, self-defense. Yeah. But I don't remember, like, anything major like that,
yeah.
you know? Like, it was, but again, this was, like, back in the day. If you, like, I was telling Teresa, if you were a tattletale, like, in 3rd grade, we had teachers make you wear, like, a tail and shit.
Oh, my God.
I mean, thank God I was, like. You know, this was not going to scar me for life. Like,
uh-huh.
I'm one of those people who can look back and be like, ha ha, the 70s.
Right.
But I'm sure other people were like, scarred for life.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, totally.
Like, it's
yeah.
crazy.
Completely.
So, luckily, not necessarily how the world works anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, Katie Bell's, you know, we've been in school now through 2nd grade. She's in 2nd grade. And she didn't really get in trouble. I mean, we warn the teachers going in when they're like, tell us something about your child that we
mm-hmm.
should know. And I always say she talks.
Yeah.
We all talk. There's a good chance, and she understands that could get her in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no. She either has to learn how to not talk, which I don't think is humanly possible
mm-hmm.
for somebody in my family,
mm-hmm.
or she just gets used to being called on and being, you know,
mm-hmm.
possibly punished for that.
Mm-hmm.
But she hasn't. Like, everybody's pretty supportive of her talking, right? So, there, you know.
She may also just be able to regulate that.
Yeah, she
really
also,
well. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
she's, maybe she's participating a lot and,
yeah,
like, talking.
That's right.
Like, contributing a lot in class, but, like, maybe
yeah.
she's not, like, constantly talking over the teacher.
Yeah, she's
you know?
Not, yeah, like me. To every generation, one passes
it. They also they set up the classrooms in totally a different way now than they used to. Like, you know, we used to sit in those rows that were just like
it's
kind
much
of the
more
worst,
about conversation.
You're sitting
now.
Around in a little table with
So so I don't know. It's I actually feel like I am of the mindset of I'm just kind of waiting for the call. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's a good day. But doesn't mean it's always going to be.
But you're also in a comfort zone of knowing that your kid does not have an issue with getting in trouble at school.
Right.
Like that is like a particular place to be.
Yeah. Right now.
That I imagine to be very nice.
Yeah. I just wanted like to set up for everybody what a beautiful bubble I live in.
Yeah.
And how freely
like
I can
kind of like send your kid to school and just kind
not
of
worry.
Know, like I kind of know that she knows what to do. Like she's not going to do something to get herself in trouble.
Right.
Really, probably.
Right.
Like,
I
she kind
sleep
of knows
well.
What's expected of her. Yeah. Yeah.
So now that I've set that up to not be weird at all for you to share your feelings.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, well, I think I have to find a way to talk about this that is like mostly about it's got to be mostly about me, right?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And so basically Grace is, she's 5 and a half. She's in kindergarten. We're towards the end of the kindergarten year. And she's had like a few issues throughout the year. Like, and it's it is really strange for me being somebody who was totally terrified of authority as a child and like always wanted to not get in trouble. And I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I just that was very important to me to not get in trouble. I was really scared of that.
Right.
And Grace is just not that person.
Oh,
you know, she just does not. It's not a high priority for her. And she's not super fearful of authority. She doesn't. She's kind of like a fuck your rules type person.
Love it.
Which
is
I'm
easy for me to say I love it.
I know.
I'm not dealing with it. Right. You
know?
Like, I mean, yeah, let's
I know. But I hear what you're saying because there's definitely a big part of me that's like, man, she's so awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
so proud of her. And I'm so proud that like I don't think that my like fear of authority necessarily like served me throughout my life. Like, I'm sure there are ways that it made things easier for me. But like I'm not thinking like I just think she's cool, you know, like there's things about this that I think are really cool. And maybe later in life will like be really awesome.
Yeah.
But like right now it's really hard because so much about starting out in elementary school is about like I don't want to rag on like, you know, elementary school. Like it is like a little bit about conformity, but it's also just about, you know, understanding how to like be organized.
Well,
like,
you're
or understanding
in a
how
system,
to. You're,
in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's so many kids in the classroom that you can't really have one or two kids totally doing their whole own thing because the teacher does not have time. The teacher has 26 fucking kids in there. Like,
it's a
the
lot.
Teacher does not have time to tailor everything to every individual child's needs. Like, it's just unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of have to learn the way that you're expected to do it before you can experiment.
Which is just nothing you ever thought you'd be thinking about.
No.
Right? Like, as an adult. Like, I mean, you're sitting there like,
because
you're so removed from school.
Yeah.
And as an adult, you totally know how school's supposed to work and the expectations. And especially if you were a kid. I have friends who hated school. Like, they were always in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, they always. And then when they had their kid, they were like, they went into school with a totally different mindset of how to protect their kid in a different way.
Interesting.
Than, say,
I
did.
I need to talk to those people,
well,
I think.
Well, like Ellis, I mean, Stefan and I both, like, were like, we fucking totally rode the line of school, right? Like, there were no real big issues.
Yeah.
So there was no big weird thought process when Katie Bell went in. But you still think, once your kid's there, and you walk in the door with your kid, and you see all the systems and how and why they have to learn certain ways and all this stuff, you do suddenly start having these conversations in your head, like you're saying, where it's like, it's so weird that I know why they expect the kids to do X, Y, and Z and why it's unrealistic for a teacher to have to, you know, cater to each child, especially if a child's having problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's totally too much to think about sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. And what's really weird about it is we're not there.
Yeah, we're not there.
We're just not there.
We don't know.
I can see what's going on. Before Curtis was born, I was volunteering one morning every other week.
Yeah.
So I was there every other week for a morning. And I could see how things were going generally. But,
yeah.
I never saw any weird behavior. Maybe
right.
that's because I was there. I don't
well,
know.
Right.
But when I hear about problems at school, it's this really weird feeling because I'm a little bit why can't she just not do this? But it's not that I'm so disappointed in her for getting in trouble or something. Honestly,
right.
It's more that I feel so protective of her in getting in trouble.
Right.
I love her teacher and
yeah.
I love her principal.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky that she's there. And she really likes her teacher and really likes her principal.
Right.
So we're in a really good spot for
yeah.
that. But you know, for whatever reason, there's still issues that come up. And when she does have a problem and I hear about it later, I just feel it's not that I think oh my God, somebody punished her in some horrible way.
Right.
And I feel protective of her like that.
She's not wearing a tail.
It's more just it sucks to get in trouble.
Yeah.
If I'm putting myself in her shoes, it sucks to get in trouble. And I want to protect her from feeling
right.
those feelings. And I can't do that
Does she have that same response
well,
to
that's
getting in
the
trouble?
Thing.
Or
that's
does she just
thing.
Not kind of
well,
get...
Well, I mean, she's different from me.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's obviously different. Yeah, it still sucks, you know?
Yeah.
She'll still be bummed out that she was benched for part of recess or lunch or whatever.
Right.
It's just that... Number one, it's so different from how I was as a kid, so I can't really relate. And number two, I'm just not there. So,
yeah.
It's weird to have this feeling when I send her off in the morning where I just want to, take her by the hands and go, don't do anything today. Just do what your teacher wants you to do today, please.
Oh,
I know that's so ridiculous.
Right.
She's gonna have her own
yeah.
ways of dealing with things and her own.
But 7-year-old Teresa
yes.
is talking
I'm
to.
I'm please,
yeah.
please don't. I just want everything to be smooth for you today because I can't
right.
be there to help you through it. You
right.
know, we can talk about it later.
Yeah.
But and then it's just hard because it's also. You know, it's there is a little bit of that feeling do people think I'm a bad parent because my kid acts out sometimes?
Right.
And nobody's actively making me feel bad, but there, of course,
but of
I'm
course
going to
thinking.
Have this thing. You guys, I swear, I know I have two other kids, including a new baby, but
right.
I'm parenting her. We talk about this stuff and I'm not neglecting this responsibility to do you know what I mean?
No,
this is
hard. I know exactly what you
mean. I don't want people to think that I don't you know what
no,
I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Because
sometimes what it sounds like your teacher and your principal know
mm-hmm.
and what you probably know on some level, but doesn't play out into your daily dose of mom guilt,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that there's been a lot of changes for Grace.
Yeah.
I mean, even just a new baby alone, but just there's been a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes that plays itself out in different ways.
Yeah.
And the best you can do is to keep doing what you're doing, which is providing the supportive environment for her, right?
Right.
Just that you're here for her, you've got her back, and you love her no matter what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And, most of the times they will get through that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And this is also, it's also her first year in school.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on. And to be there for her like you're doing. And again, you're so lucky to have this good teacher and this good principal. I mean, from an outside perspective, it's easy for me to say, you know what? Actually, a lot of that sounds kind of normal,
mm-hmm.
what she's kind of going through. Because I've seen Katie Bell go through sort of different issues each year
mm-hmm.
that don't manifest themselves that way, but manifest themselves in other ways, like the stomach aches, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But none of that takes away from the self-reflection on, do people think I'm a horrible parent? I hear that. And
yeah.
it's so... it immediately hooks into me. Totally understand what you're saying.
And the reason I'm having that feeling, if I'm being totally honest, is is that, like, goes back to that, like, prejudging, like, before right. having kids, that feeling of, like, well, my kids will never do that. Because I'll set up these routines, these expectations. They'll know, you know, they'll know I'm there for them. They'll right. know what's expected of them. They'll, you know, they'll understand being respectful to people. Like, all these things that it's just one of those ways that, like, parenting just, like,
doesn't matter.
Blows your mind yeah, again right. and again where like, yeah.
Because you've done all those
I'm
things.
I'm just wrong.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, things, and, yeah. but there's no way to
it
predict.
It doesn't matter.
Your
yeah.
kid's still going to go through whatever your kid still has to go
yeah.
through. And they're going to
yeah.
respond to situations regardless
yeah.
the way that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And the best we can do is to set all that stuff up
yeah.
and hope that long game, you know, like that the long game is... You know, it's always a beacon for our kids as they go yeah. out and they don't respond to the world the way we did or the way
yeah.
we hope that they will, given that we've created this perfect set of standards, right? That,
yeah.
Which are also based kind of on nothing. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's, yeah, no, it's definitely a prejudging,
it
you
is,
know, moment.
Yeah. And it hurts to like, kind of know that if this wasn't happening to my kid and I was hearing about it
yeah.
happening to somebody else's kid, that my reaction, even if I wasn't overt about it or like even like saying it or even outright thinking it clearly to myself, there would be some part of me that would be like, yeah, that sucks for them, but that would never happen with my kids. Like,
right.
do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And
it's,
like,
it's a horrible thing
it just
to
fucking
think
sucks.
About,
yeah.
but we all do that.
Right. Why do we do that?
It's like we spend so much time being in that place of guilt.
Yeah.
That if there's any moment that we can latch on
to like reassure
well,
ourselves.
Won't be us
yeah.
Because we're doing this other thing. Like that, like our brain it's like a survival skill that, like, well, at least my kid's not doing that. You know,
right.
It's that natural, like, fight, I think, mechanism
yeah.
of like justifying your actions.
Yeah.
It not being something that you're dealing with right now is a mm-hmm. great way to feel like you're somehow doing a good job if you're not feeling like it in other
right.
places. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Yes.
But I am glad you said it because I, you know, for I think as hard as we all try to like leave that thinking behind,
mm-hmm.
especially the deeper you get into parenting, you kind of it's easy to slough that off
mm-hmm.
a little bit. But it's still there. Like and to see, you're right. It's really easy to be like, well, it wouldn't be my kids.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And therefore, because I'm doing this, that means you're not doing that.
Right.
Right? Like
yeah.
and again, it goes back to you never know what's happening in people's houses, and it's better to, I mean, I know you.
Yeah.
So I know the environment you're
yeah.
setting up for your kids. I know that you do a really fucking great job.
Thank you.
And how much it just sucks to still, for that not to, to do, and it's doing so much. Like, here's the thing, because you want to say, I do all this stuff. But it's not doing
it. But it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
But you don't know that.
But you don't
yeah.
know that. It's working
yeah.
clearly in 1,000 other areas.
Right. Yeah.
But
and it's not to absolve myself of
well,
anything
right.
either. Like,
no.
sure, I'm sure there's other stuff I could be doing. You know, like, I'm not, it's not that I'm like, I need reassurance that
right.
I'm this perfect parent
no.
and somehow I
sure.
created a monster. Like, I don't, you know, that's not what I'm going for, but it is more just that feeling of, yeah, we don't know what's going on in people's houses. So it is really easy to just be like, well, they're not doing the best job.
Well, right.
You know, like, I'm sure they'll be fine, but that's not, you
yeah,
know.
I think it's just, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Again, it's one of those things where you never think about it until suddenly
yeah, I know.
Or you have thought about it
yeah.
before you had kids
yeah.
and you know exactly how it was going to go down in your
right.
house
yeah.
and in your life.
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't or you run into something you didn't expect, which seems to happen every fucking day these days.
Yeah.
You're like, that is really a surprise. It's like every day having the rock that you stand on
yeah.
turn out not to be stable at all.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
that's, I don't know, that's really hard. And that's hard. And there's no real end to this particular discussion other than I'm glad we had it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Cool. One One Bad Mother is supported in part by Storyworth. Storyworth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts, questions you've never thought to ask.
Guys, I have done this with both of my parents. In fact, I originally tried to set this up with both of them through one account, and then my mother called and said, I want my own damn account. So I now have two accounts, and this is how it works. You purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week, Storyworth sends them an email with a question about their life, and there are questions about their childhood, parenting. Like, one of the questions that just came out for my folks was, tell me about your grandparents. Like, stuff that you'd like to know historically about your, what was your favorite concert? Do you know what your parents' favorite concert was? They reply to the email with their story, or they can record it over the phone. All the stories are private. And then after a year, guys, Storyworth puts it all together in a bound, beautiful keepsake book. It's so lovely. And it's actually a really easy last-minute gift for Mother's Day because you just go on and order it and they can get it started the very next day.
For $20 off, visit storyworth.com/badmother when you subscribe. Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh my God. That's fucking genius.
The other night, I was having dinner with Jesse and the kids, but like they obviously don't stay at the table. Like they had gotten up to like run around and be crazy.
So you're having a romantic dinner with Jesse.
So Jesse and I were having dinner, just ignoring the chaos around us. And I can't remember why, but pie came up. And I said to Jesse, oh my God, pie sounds so good right now. And he was like, yeah. And then that was the end of that. But then like 2 days later, I was at the coffee shop getting myself some afternoon cold brew as a treat.
Yeah.
And they had like a beautiful cherry pie. And I wasn't like, I didn't want it right then. And I had a kid with me and I was just, but I was like, I know that I want this. So I got myself a slice of it to go. And then it ended up in my fridge and I'm busy, babysitter, switch, drop people off, you know, whatever, next day. I totally forgot that it was there. So then like 24 hours later, I was in my kitchen looking for something good to eat.
Yeah.
And I found the fucking slice of cherry pie that I had bought for myself the day before.
Woo!
Like a little present.
Yeah. From past Teresa.
From past Teresa to future Teresa.
Future Teresa, a present.
And it was amazing. So I got to have that.
That is genius.
It just all came together.
It did.
Yeah.
In the form of cherry pie.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking good.
Yeah.
So it's already very hot here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the kids to a pool, and that's genius in itself. But I'm packing up the bag to go to the pool, and I remembered to bring the change of clothes for after swimming, which, again, another genius that I even remembered that. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to put them in Ziploc bags so that as wet shit's getting taken in and out of the big bag, their clothes aren't getting wet. But when we got to the pool and it was time to change clothes, I realized as they were changing that I had the Ziploc bag to put their wet swimsuits in.
Yes.
It was like the universe. Like, I didn't realize I had this genius happening. The genius was only, I'm going to keep their clothes from getting wet until I realized I had actually done a genius of having Ziploc bags there.
So good.
FYI, I keep Ziploc bags on me all the time.
They're really helpful.
I have them
bag. And you can reuse them.
Yes,
you can. Totally wash them out and dry them.
Reuse them. That's right.
Yep.
Hello, I'm calling in with a genius moment. It actually starts with a genius of my 2-year-old son's, who is a genius at timeouts. If he's throwing a hairy conniption, we can throw him in his room and he calms down within a minute or two and gets control of himself and comes out and tells us he had a good time out and is very good. But I also have a 3-month-old daughter and it's not always convenient to get him to his room. So today I invented the hug timeout. And I told him to give me a really, really, really hard hug. And that as he was hugging and hugging and hugging, then all his anger would go away, and that it was a hug timeout. And I could feel him getting a little bit limper in my arms, and he started using the same calm voice that he uses when he comes out of a real timeout in his room. And I thought that was a genius. Definitely won't work tomorrow, but it worked today, and we both felt really good about it. Thanks, ladies. You're doing a fantastic job, and I love listening to you. Bye.
That's really good. I really feel like anything you can do, because we have pretty intense ones with Ellis, and like it used to be that he could go and have like a timeout on the beanbag and calm down, because that was what they kind of do at school, and that worked really well at home, and then it didn't anymore, and like... I guess I technically hug him when he's having a tantrum, but I'm more holding him in place for safety.
Yeah.
But like, if I just think it's the genius moment is not so much the hug, like the offering this other solution, but that like it worked and your kid heard you and responded and did the thing that you suggested, especially like in a tantrum moment where, at least in our house, Ellis just can't hear me during the tantrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no suggestion that helps.
Yeah.
So the genius slash miracle is that it worked in that moment for you guys.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a shouted out off the mountaintop. It just worked. I just did a thing and it helped and it made me feel good and him feel good. It was great. So good. I don't know. I think I'm just like so fucking tired. And there you go. And like Ellis is like really intense right now. Uh-huh. And just like this genius just really was so, it just was really touching to me. I was just like, oh, that's really nice.
Good job.
Good job, Mom.
Yeah, you're doing a really good job, and so are you, Biz.
Thank you. Failures! Fail!
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
I had a poop fail to share today, but then I was like thinking about it in my mind, and I was like, I just don't feel like talking about poop that much right now, so I'm just gonna bypass the poop fail and share another fail, because I've got plenty of them to go around. So we had gone away for a quick vacation over Grace's spring break last week, the week before last, and we'd gone to the mountains, and when I was packing everybody up, we were bringing one of our dogs with us, and one of our dogs takes a glucosamine supplement because she has like weird legs. And so I was like standing there as I was packing my prenatal vitamins, because we keep all that stuff like together in one spot. I'm like, should I bring the glucosamine? That's such an extra thing that is just, maybe I'll just leave it behind. But I was like, it's a full week and like we're going to be doing a lot of hiking. So this is like the time for her to have it. And I was too rushed to like pull out the like 7 that she would need for the week. So I just grabbed the whole bottle. And it's so expensive, and I just left it there.
Oh.
Like, I left it in the mountains. It's gone. Like, it's I just left it because I just, of course, did not remember to bring it back with us. And if I had just saved the one, and I don't even think we ended up giving it to her the whole time we were there. Like, I don't even ever remember actually giving it to her while we were there. And whatever. I just hate myself for that.
Yes. Oh, you suck.
Yeah.
So, pool. I was all excited. I come back from this like Alabama trip and like on Saturday, and I know that Sunday we're gonna go to the pool. So I'm like, we have this whole time Saturday to kill before it's bedtime, and I'm like, you know, so what do we do? Let's go to Target.
Yeah.
Let's fill some time. So we go to Target. I'm like, let's go get something for the pool. That's fun.
Nice.
And everybody's like, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
So we get these little dive squids. They're like squids that you throw and then they sink down to the ground and you dive after them.
Yeah, yeah.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Ellis loves them.
Uh-huh.
Katie Bell sees them and she's like, these are great. They, of course, play with them in the tub that night.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. We go to the pool the next day. They're playing with it. They leave them in the pool. And, of course, you see other kids playing with it. But it's not a big deal. Like, when I'm in the water later, I say to the kids, hey, when you're done, just put them on the side. I'm all about sharing the toys
and
the sandbox in the pool.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we finally left 4 hours later, we could not find them.
Oh,
and
you couldn't find them.
We couldn't find them at all. Stefan, like, did a full loop of the pool pool and, like, looking in it. They just clearly went home with somebody or were next to somebody's stuff somewhere.
Yeah.
And to like, add to that, Ellis didn't take it well.
Yeah.
And he was super tired from the pool. So many times.
And you have to work so hard to get kids to share toys. Sorry to interrupt, but.
Yeah. And it just was he was so upset. And then every time any of us left the house later yesterday, he kept saying stuff like, "Oh, are you back with the squid?" Like, as if we had just gone to Target to get the squid.
Like, you're going to get them immediately, right?
Well, yeah. And then I feel like I'm trapped in that situation where I'm like, "We're going tomorrow to get new squid. Yeah. Don't worry."
Yeah.
It's like losing a family. "Baby, listen to me. We're going to get the squid. I promise." I know. Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, because at this age, though, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm gonna fucking go spend $3 more on fucking squids.
Yeah, that's
fine. I just was I can't believe, less
I'm
than
so
24
sorry.
Hours.
Oh, that sucks.
Felt awful.
Hey, ladies, I'm calling with a fail. So my children go to daycare 4 out of 5 days of the week. And on the 5th day, they go to my parents' house. Well, today is that day, and everybody's great. I had a good day. I was on my way home, drove all the way to daycare to pick them up, sat in the parking lot like an idiot, wondering why it felt really wrong to be at daycare, because I realized my children aren't here. So that's my fail. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
That's really funny.
It falls into the halls of classics.
Yep.
Right? That is, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I just spent 10 minutes driving to the wrong school, or...
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's a fail.
Yep.
Good job.
Good use of your time.
Not being it yet. Not being able to know where kids are.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
Are you easily confused by terms like cultural appropriation, cisgender, and woke?
Or maybe you find yourself constantly explaining terms like these and you need a place to vent.
Do you have a love for all things pop culture, social commentary, and politics?
Sounds like you need Minority Corner,
where you can learn, laugh, and play.
Sounds like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay, and ladylike.
James and Aneke will happily administer your weekly dose each and every Friday.
You can listen on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minority Corner.
With a K.
Because the C was taken.
So the 2017 Max Fun Drive was a huge success. Thank you so much to everyone who joined or upgraded during the drive and to all of our amazing monthly members. To celebrate, we're giving our $10 and higher monthly members the chance to buy additional enamel pins with the profits going to our friends at the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. What? Yeah. The sale runs April 26th through May 3rd, and it's your last chance to get your hands on these sweet pins. $10 monthly members should receive a link and a code in their email on April 26th, so keep an eye on your inbox and get your denim jacket ready. For more information, visit MaximumFun.org/pins. And thank you again.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a dad.
Cool.
This week, we are calling Joseph, who's the co-founder of Side One Dummy Records and former frontman for punk rock band Wax and 22 Jacks, as well as now a stand-up comedian. He co-hosts the popular parenting podcast Rad Parenting with advice expert Anaya Bogue. His debut stand-up album, Nowhere Near the Top, comes out digitally and on vinyl this week, guys, April 28th. Welcome, Joe.
What is up, you guys? Thank you so much for having me.
We are so happy to have you here. Before we get into all of the many things going on in your life, let's first start off with what we ask all our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
All right. In my house, I have a 13-year-old son, Nate, and I have a 15-year-old daughter, Chessa, and then I have the glue of the whole family, my wife, keeping us all together.
Very nice.
Her name is Karen, and we've been married 18 years and dated for 7. What's 7 plus 18? What is that?
I don't know. Math.
25.
25. Go, Teresa, for the win.
There you go.
That's what I'm here for.
We've been together 25 years.
I'm just here for light math.
We've been together 25 years.
25 years. Congratulations. That's very good. That's awesome. And also congratulations, Teresa, on doing light math. That's very, very good. Let's start off with the podcast, actually. That's where we're going to start off, which is Rad Parenting, which has potentially one of my favorite taglines ever for the show. She's an expert. He's not. I don't know why I find that so funny. And it literally is. You are not an expert any more than you are just, in fact, a parent struggling through everything. And she actually is an expert. So tell us a little bit about the podcast and what you guys do.
You know, when we came up with the idea for the podcast, it only came out of the fact that when my kids were super young, my wife was trying to get me to read, you know, what to expect in the first year. And my kids were like 4 years old, and I was still trying to battle through that book. I was like, and at a certain point, my wife was just like, it's not going to happen. Like, put that away. Like, these kids, they're getting ready to go to school, Joe. Like, you got to, that book's over. I was still worried about nursing, and my kids were like 7 and 8. So where we were at was, I ended up meeting my co-host, Anaya, because she runs this Stand Up for Girls program here in Los Angeles. Super, super cool program that works with teenage girls, and we became friendly, and my wife and I and her were talking one day, and I'd had this idea for starting a podcast. You know, my whole background's music. I work in radio, obviously stand-up comedy, and just coming out of from, you know, the rock and roll lifestyle, and basically, like, my whole life, I fought authority, and now I was finding myself in this weird position where I am the authority.
Right.
And I just wasn't, you know, I didn't feel that I really was getting any tools. And I ended up talking to Anaya, and I was like, you know what would be fun to do is to start a podcast that we could make for parents that basically no one has the money to go and talk to a professional. No one has the money to sit down and do therapy, and no one has the time. I'm like, look, I have to answer emails, you know, in such a short amount of time, let alone sit down and listen to an hour-long podcast about parenting. And also questions and concerns that there's so many of them that I was like, look, what happens if we did something where this podcast is for everybody and anyone? And also, there's going to be, I don't want it to be preachy. This is going to be opinions and stories and ideas. But I also want it to be fun. And at the end, I always say that when we end the podcast, all right, Anaya, how are we going to land this? Because I want someone to listen to it for 30 minutes, listen to it to the 40 minutes. And if we are doing a show on sleep training, how the hell am I actually going to get my kid to sleep? If we are doing a show on nursing in the first 24 hours, look, I love all the jokes, but you know what? This baby needs the nurse. Help me out.
Yeah.
All of these shows that we do, they always really, the listener walks away with a real meat and potato idea of a concept, and they can either apply it or they can't. But it really is about having fun, but at the end of the day, giving somebody a real answer with substance. And that was my whole reason. I'll be honest, because I knew that there were so many parents out there. Everyone's trying to work. Everyone's trying to make ends meet. Everyone's driving from one place to another. And no one has the time to really spend and educate as much as you can about one of the most, if not the most important jobs that I feel we all have. And the other thing is that we get this job being a parent, you know, sometimes out of, you know, a late night with a couple glasses of wine. And you're like, wow, now I'm a mom, now I'm a dad.
Yeah.
And my wife and I both wanted to just have something that you could listen to. And then also, you know this as well as I know, that you guys, with all the parenting podcasts, some of them you listen to and you feel like a bad person afterwards.
Yeah.
You're like, gosh, I didn't quit my job. I do have to work. Or, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I was on the cell phone when they were at the playground. I'm a terrible dad. That's not our show at all. Our show is, look, we're figuring it out as we're going along, and also we want to give you as much information as we can, and then really give you something with substance, stuff that's backed up by whether it's research or different books or different areas that you can go and check out. And that's where Anaya comes in.
Yeah.
She's the expert, and I'm not.
Well, it's also helpful when you tackle these topics, you know, and there are shows like yours, where you could tackle these topics without the judging. It really can, I think, like, the first thing that makes any parent feel good is to know they're not the only person who just woke up to discover that this wasn't going to be anything like they thought it was going to be, or that it's just
absolutely, you're hitting
hard.
It right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's, and the other thing is this, I mean, we did a whole show once, And it was one of our most popular shows about the topic of waking up and going, I don't want to be a parent today.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, like, my wife and I used to say that. We've said that to each other. I don't want to be a dad.
Where did you land that?
Yeah, how'd you land on that? Because on this show, it usually lands with, like, this is not my beautiful house. How did I get here? Right? Like, so, yeah, how did you land that one? That's a good question.
You know, the way we landed that one was just out of a real conversation, because everything that we bring to the show are all real experiences that have happened.
Right.
And sometimes when I started doing the show, I was super nervous because I never wanted to put something out on the line that might, you know, hurt, or, you know, maybe my kid would be like, dude, really? You're going to talk about that conversation, you know, on a podcast that everyone listens to. but the thing was, being honest and having that conversation with that example of saying, my wife and I have said to each other, not that we don't love our children, that we don't love how wonderful being a parent is, but you know what? Check it out. I don't want anyone to ask me any questions today. And that just came out of a real conversation. That was just a real conversation that we had with each other. And the way we landed that was Anaya saying, it is 100% healthy to say, I need a break. Check it out. Mom's checking out. Dad's gonna go check out for the afternoon, or mom's gonna check out, or getting that opportunity to what we call recharge and get a break. I think as a parent, in those early years, the sleep deprivation, the feeling of this is never, like, you're staying here forever, like, you're not visiting. That's gone through our minds, and all we try to do on the podcast is bring those topics up about hosting Rad Parenting. The only thing that I love doing the show, I love the show and I love doing it, but the only thing I wish I would have started it 10 years earlier, because I know my kids and my family would have been, I'll be a great grandfather,
right.
But I've learned so much.
Well, here's a question, you know, kind of speaking of former selves and now who we are now. Okay. So I think it's safe to say that in your pre-child life, you were pretty, I guess punk rock would be the way to describe it, not necessarily something associated with parenting. So sort of two questions. One, how did you transition? Did you find that transition smooth? And did you ever think that, like, almost all of what your work would be now after kids would be based kind of on parenting? And we'll get into the stand-up album, too, in a second. But, like, you're like basically making a life out of parenting, which is, again, the opposite of fronting a punk rock band. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's totally the same. Did you find that transition easy? And do you ever, I guess, sometimes look at what you're doing now and be like, you know, how did I get here?
That's a good question in the sense that, you know, my whole life since I was, you know, 13 years old, I was either in a band. And then I went from being in a band to getting older and then, hey, I'm the manager of the band, or hey, now I own the record label and we put the band's records out. So my whole life, I've never had, and I'm so grateful for this, I've never had any real job, you know? And they always say, like, you know, the person that, you know, when you work for yourself, that's the reason why you work nonstop, because your fear is you don't want to get a 40-hour a week job. So I'm a total 100% a product of that. My biggest fear was that at some point I would have to get a real job. And to be honest with you, the only other job I've had besides singing in bands, managing bands, and owning a record company and putting out music and producing and all that has been making sandwiches. So, like, it's like, so there's two things I'm really, really good at. I make sandwiches that people would die for. I'm an amazing sandwich maker, and then I'm great at working with musicians and putting out records. So, the parenting thing, I think, came from working with bands is a lot like parenting. And I didn't know that when I was a kid growing up, I was the guy that was sober enough to get paid at the end of the night. I was the guy that figured out how to, you know, fill out the credit card and get a credit card. I was the guy that knew I was responsible enough that I was able to set up a lot of things for my friends that maybe weren't as responsible at that point in their life. And what I realized when you were the dad.
You're the fucking
dad.
You're
the dad.
I used to be, no, you know what they used to call me? They used to call me the coach.
Because
I was.
You were the dad.
You were the dad, sorry. You were totally the dad.
You know, well, it is. You're right, though, because the thing is that when you're dealing with band members, it's very similar to dealing with kids. You know, your bass player forgot his bass, and you have to say to him, why did you leave your bass at the club? You know, I asked you three times, did you load it into the bass? And then a lot of times you get to the venue, and they're like, I need to find weed. And I'm like, you should have got your medicine like I asked you earlier. You know, so and because of being in music my whole entire life, I've only been able to basically put everything in the mind frame of like being in a band, you know, and everyone does it differently, but I do see so many similarities with my life. Now, the one thing I will say is this, and my dad says it all the time. The last thing I thought I would ever do in my entire life is host a parenting podcast, anything to do with parenting. Like if you would have told me that when I was like 20 years old, like, hey, check it out. Someday you're going to host a parenting podcast. A, my dad would have screamed, and then I would have spit like my 40 out. I would have spit beer in your face. Like, this is never going
to
happen.
Yeah, what I like is you've managed to like really embrace parenting in your stand-up. But what's different, I think, about what you're doing is that the jokes are on you, but not in a self-deprecating way, right? Like, there's a lot of times you can go out, you see people, like, you are the butt of the joke, but not in a way that is like, I'm the worst dad, right? Like, it's very much more of a full, like, empowering embrace. And I'm going to use, actually, I was talking to you before, you sort of as a way to promote the album, you made a little video based on your stand-up. And so it's so good, guys. We're going to link everybody up to it. But basically, I'm going to, and yes, I'm about to recreate the video for you. Everybody buckle up. But like, so you're walking with your son to baseball practice and you ask him, oh, what's wrong? And he says flat out that none of the other kids like you.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that's not true, man. The kids, they fucking love me. And he's like, no, they don't. They all call you Coach Shithead. And which is so good. And then you're like, all right, well, who came up with that name? And your son's like, it's me. And then basically as punishment, you're like, he's like, you guys are walking to the car and he's like, all right, let's go to Whole Foods. And you're like, no, I'm going to fucking take you to McDonald's. And he's like, no, don't take me to McDonald's. And you're like, no, we're going to McDonald's. This is what you're going to eat. I don't know. There was just something like, it was really smart because it was like two things going on in it. One, that no one was mad at each other. There was no like angry, like, of course your kids like, you know, like it was just this like really calm, casual discussion about how everybody fucking hates you. All the kids hate you, and they call you shithead. And it's not only that, it's your son, but you're, like, real mellow with your son about it. And now the obvious answer is you don't get to go to Whole Foods, kid. I'm going to take you to fucking McDonald's. I don't know. It was just so nice. And I wonder, I guess, how conscious was this choice for your comedy to sort of be like this? Or am I just interpreting too much, listening to it?
As much as I wish I could say that I wrote Coach Shithead, because it, like, off of an idea.
Right.
Coach Shithead, that came from driving in the car with my son after baseball practice and, you know, me, you know, carrying the bats and the ball and the hat and the clipboard,
yeah,
and knowing every kid's name and giving up every, you know, Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday and don't hit the kid with the bat and make sure you got your helmet on and doing everything and sunscreen and everything. And then only to have him say to me, you know, Dad, you know, none of the kids on the team like you. And I literally said, what are you talking about?
So funny.
And then he said, and I go, how do you, and it was a true story. He goes, I go, how do you know that? And he goes, because Dad, they call you Coach Shithead. And I was so bummed. I was like, God, these little jerks. And then, you know, come to find out, you know, that he was actually the one that, like, well, maybe we call him this. Everyone loves him. But with all that said, you know, the joke is on me because I'm trying to, I want to be the best dad I can. My wife and I want to be the best parent that we can, but we've also learned, and a dad said this to me once, and I'll never forget it. It was right when I had my daughter, and I was about a year into it, and he goes, he was talking to me, and he goes, hey, let me guess, you're trying to be the perfect dad. And I go, wow, I've never heard that before. He goes, yeah, you're trying to be perfect, aren't you? You're trying to drink less beer. You're trying to watch, you know, less TV. You're trying to be, you know, more this, more that. And I go, oh my gosh, you're so right, dude. I'm trying to be that guy. And he goes, just stop, because that's only going to end up with you blowing it even more. So you just need to realize who you are and also try to be the best dad that you can be. Don't try to be the perfect guy. And that was the best advice I ever got. And it really, I think, as being a parent, you know, it helped me because I blow it a lot. Like, that's one thing, you know, in my stand-up. Yeah, all the stuff I've said on the record. And you know, it's I don't want parenting and being married. Like, I can't stand when comics talk about being married like, oh, man, I can't stand my wife, and she's this and she's that. I'm like, well, then, dude, get divorced. You know, if it ain't working, don't stay together. And that's why I'm grateful that I've been married, and I love my kids. But it's also, I'm realistic, and I am going to make mistakes. And as long as you acknowledge them, and that's what this record is about, is acknowledging that I've said things that weren't perfect. But I feel that every parent has, and this is a little shout out to everybody. Hey, man, we're all just trying to figure this out. No one's perfect.
Yeah, no, and it really comes through on the album. It's guys, it's really good. Joe, thank you for coming on and talking with us. And we are going to link everybody up to nowherenearthetop.com where they can find out more about getting a hold of it. And we'll link people up to your Twitter and the podcast and all the other stuff you have going on. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Guys, I want to thank you both for having me on. I love your show. Love your podcast. This has been so fun. Your laugh is totally infectious. I'm going to miss it for the rest of my day. And hey, and for everyone out there, if you want a shot at getting a copy of my record on vinyl, you know, I'll send you a copy. Just email me and I'll pick a winner. Just email me joesib22@gmail.com. And for the rest of you, my record's only $8. If you go to iTunes, just look up Joe Sib, Nowhere Near the Top. And I would appreciate it so much, you guys. And hopefully I'll see you guys out on the road.
Absolutely. We'll link everybody up to it and all the stuff that you just told us about. And good luck with it.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Hey, you too. Bye.
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 Brainwaves send a message. Pick up the phone. When you like call.
That was fun. Guys, the album's very funny. It is just somebody being completely honest with making a lot of mistakes and embracing those mistakes. So again, we'll link everybody up to where you can find out more about that. Whew. Speaking of making mistakes, let's listen to a mom have a breakdown.
Hi, One Bad Mother. I'm calling with a rant. So I got invited to go to this really awesome lecture in my field at a university in the city. I was really, really excited. I planned this whole thing out so that I could finally, like, have a break on my day off and go do something to, like, better myself and my career. And I have Mondays off, and I was with my son, and I planned that he was going to take his nap, and then we were going to drive to my mother-in-law's, which is like half an hour away, and I would hop on the train and be able to get into the city in an hour. It would be fast. She would take care of my son. He's been sleeping really well, like predictably at certain times. And this morning we went to this playgroup, and on the way back home, he fell asleep in the car. He was like out, and I was just going to stick him in the crib, but then I noticed he was wearing his jacket, and I was like, he just can't sleep in his coat. I feel like he's going to strangle himself in his sleep or something. And, of course, as soon as I start to take the coat off, he wakes up after just 10 minutes of sleep, and he has been up for almost 3 hours since then. And, of course, he is charming and excited and wants to play with me, and all I want him to do is fucking sleep, because now I'm not going to be able to go see this amazing lecture that I was looking forward to for, like, 3 months. And because he's going to fall asleep, like, as soon as I get ready to walk out the door with him. And I'm just really frustrated that, of course, this happened. And I keep going back to, like, it was just me not taking his coat off. That's, like, all I needed to do was just leave his fucking coat on him and just let him sleep in it. And then I could have taken a nap because I'm really tired. I'm super fucking tired right now. I don't know. And then I feel like a bad mom because he's in a great mood and he wants to play with me. And I just keep, like, screaming at him in my head, go the fuck to sleep. Just go to sleep. You've been up since 5 in the morning and it's like 3 in the afternoon. Go to fucking sleep. All right. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
The the reality of plans being totally screwed up by the simplest of things is devastating.
And anything dependent on a child sleeping, even if they normally always sleep at that time, that is not, it's just a really anxiety provoking place to be. Because even if he is asleep at the right time, there's no guarantee he's going to stay asleep. Like, he's just.
No, I think that's the right word. It's totally anxiety inducing. Mm-hmm. That whenever, especially when the thing that you're going to have to miss, if what normally happens or your expectations to what's supposed to happen doesn't work out, when that event is something that would be self-care for you. Like, it's not just like, okay, now we can't do all the errands that I thought we were doing, or it's messed up these sort of family plans or activities or dinner. I mean, because I have that happen all the time where, like, this is the set of things that are supposed to be happening today that are none of it's self-care. It's all just the A, B, and C's of the day. And then those get screwed up by sleeping too long or not sleeping
at
all.
Or, like, lots of people try to get work done during the nap.
Right,
like,
But when it's self-care, when it's something you're really looking forward to, and then that gets taken away.
Yeah.
And that stuff gets taken away by lots of factors all the time.
Yeah,
work suddenly comes up for a partner, or somebody gets sick, or whatever. But the intimacy of it just being about the sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got the anxiety of, because there's been like lots of times where I'm like, okay, we have this thing in the night. Please let Ella sleep at daycare. He always sleeps at daycare. Please definitely let him sleep at daycare today. And then that'll be the day that he hasn't, which means whatever nighttime activity I have to drag him to with Katie Bell is going to be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be not relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And so those days, I'm totally anxious all day waiting for the note from the school that says if he slept or not, right? Like, because they send out daily reports before I go get him. So, like, that's a lot. And it's frustrating. And it's totally rant-worthy. And it also falls into the category of rants that if you were to just go out and share that when somebody says, hey, how's it going? Feels like you're talking nonsense. Feels like as soon as it starts to come out, it feels like, no one gives a shit about this.
Right.
I look like a crazy person because it's also one of those ones that people are going to say, with or without kids, well, why don't you just do this?
Well, I know.
Right?
Because, I actually had this thing while I was listening to this. I was like, well, wait, what? Why does the baby have to be asleep for the? And then I was like, you know what?
Who cares?
It doesn't fucking matter. Whatever it is,
it's her.
She had it organized and then it was not.
It was not. That's her reality.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how somebody else would fucking do it.
Exactly.
The least helpful.
Right.
So, like, it's, and those are the things you have to remember. One, it actually does matter. Your rant is 100% valid, and it does matter.
Yes.
And when somebody starts complaining or ranting about something to us, no matter what level we see that as, we fucking listen to it as if it's a code fucking red, guys.
It usually is.
And it usually is, because it's a reality.
It doesn't matter what has caused it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a code red.
It's all the same.
It's all the same. And no, you have no fucking idea if you would do it any different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Here's the thing. You're doing a very good job.
Yeah, you are.
And you deserve all the rants for this.
Yeah.
Because that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
So good job.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Yes.
What did we learn today? Well, we learned that things that we didn't think would be stuff we would ever have to think about as parents keep happening.
Yep.
That's... If there's one constant, it's that nothing's constant. I really think that what we learned from our talk about kids getting in trouble at school is that outside of whatever it is that's going on with their kids, which is a separate thing to focus on and think about and how do we help, the reality of how we feel as parents in those moments, sort of the helplessness of, am I not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing? And why isn't this working the way I just thought that would naturally work? And I don't want this thing for my child. And, you know, whatever are displacing our own stuff on them, as well as just not understanding what our kid's doing because we're not them. Like, that's a lot all at once to have going on in your mind on top of all the other stuff we have to have going on in our mind.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. And I think, as you were talking, it was also dawning on me, I think a lot of this is a process of transitioning from an age where we really can protect our kids a lot of the time because they're just with us a lot more, or they're at home, or they're in, you know, childcare settings that we're choosing. And we're thing I'm going through right now is very much about letting Grace go out into the world.
Yeah.
And that feeling of there are some things I just have to let go of and she's going to have to learn her own lessons.
Right.
Like I can do my best to support her and support her teachers and, you know, and make things work as well as possible. Like as far as that's in my control.
Right.
But so much of it is not in my control. And I think that's part of why it's so hard.
Yeah, like, that's a really hard thing.
Yeah.
And it never gets any easier realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it just sucks.
Yeah.
So that's a fun lesson for today. And we also learned, thanks to talking to Joe, and when we talked to all our guests, that... Mm-hmm.
Land it, Biz. Land it.
It's all normal. We are not alone. We're all struggling and trying to figure this out and being disappointed that what we thought we figured out didn't turn out and that we're all making mistakes. And yet here we are.
Yes.
Getting up.
Yep.
Doing it. Going to bed. Getting up and doing it again. Going out for milk and fucking coming back. Like, we're doing it.
Yes.
And it's okay to do it with a bar that moves constantly.
Yes, I like that.
Okay?
Yes.
Everybody, you're doing a remarkable job.
Yeah, you guys are.
You really are. Teresa, you're doing a very good job.
Thank you, Biz. So are you.
Thank you. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues, low down mama blues, got to low down mama blues, got to low down mama blues, you know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, daddy, baby, fussin' by, got low down mama blues. Oh, said daddy, baby, fussin' by, got low down mama
blues. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.